Yeah, there. Anybody that touches the ball is exceptionally gifted. You know, they feature all their running backs and the quarterback. You know, their number one rush offense, and boy, you know, watching all their games, it's scary because they've made a lot of long runs on a lot of teams. And it's going to take a team effort. It's going to take all 11 guys, especially the secondary, to contain it. And I don't know what the weather forecast is, whether it's going to be snowy or windy, but we've got to find a way to slow these guys down. And, you know, we've shown them all their big plays from the quarterback to the third running back and the wide receivers, and they understand what the challenge is. It's going to be a huge challenge for us because we struggled a little bit in the run game, and it'll be a great test for us to see, you know, how far we've come. And you know, we talked about getting better and keeping the games closer and all that stuff, but every time we step on the practice field, I say we're facing the number one rush offense, so I don't want them to forget who they're facing.
What makes McCoy in particular so difficult to stop?
Well, if I could use a quote from Coach Hugh, he said he could step in mud and not get dirty. You know, he's got light feet, and he's got an unbelievable change of direction. And I know a lot of people have always talked about how he carries the ball, how far away from his body. And I'm trying to think, it was Arizona. I think he had a fumble in the Arizona game. He doesn't fumble much, but he's got rare vision, feet, change of direction, and vision to, you know, to see what's coming. But he's always been that way. He's been a gifted runner his whole career. And so it's nothing, oh, wow, this guy's good. It's like, he's been good.
Open things up for those guys?
Well, when you have to count on the extra, it's almost like having a wildcat offense. I know they do run wildcat, but it's almost like having a wildcat offense because you have to account for the quarterback, where normally traditionally you don't have to account for him being an active runner versus a scrambler. But you know, his long run versus Arizona and against the Rams, and they run the option play, and you know, he's a viable part of their game, and he's averaging 6.2 yards a carry. So you know he can run.
Anne-Marie, what did you see out of Tremont in his first kind of game back at safety? And what even made you think about putting him back?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not unusual for us to play corners at safety. I like guys that are versatile like that. And it gave us, you know, for him, position flexibility, and it gave us a faster, fleeter guy, a guy that's been experienced, and obviously on third down especially, you think there's going to be a run. I mean, excuse me, you think it's going to be a pass. And it just gives us another guy that's played a lot of NFL football, that's used to seeing the ball, catching the ball, and he played well, you know, which it didn't surprise me. He's very smart, and he's been in the league a long time, so probably a little comfort back there in the communication. He knows what's going on, and it's fun to see him get back there and play some.
Jamar Taylor getting the contract extension. Just what is the kind of the reason that you guys have so much faith in him, high hopes for him?
Mm-hmm. He's played really well for us. He's experienced. It's very important. Football is very important to him. You know, when he was at Miami, I didn't know what kind of person he was, what kind of teammate he was. And in the classroom, he's here early, he's here late. He helps the young guys. It's very important. He's calming. He's a solidifying force back there. He can play multiple positions. He also could play free safety if we needed him to in a pinch. And, you know, he did that himself. He earned the right to get another contract and continue to play because he's played well for us.
Guy who went through the process with the Rooney Rule and didn't get hired, it almost seems like he might. Do you feel like he's ready to be a head coach? And he also came out and said that some teams just use the Rooney Rule to check the box, use the interview to check the box of the rule. Do you have any feeling on that?
I wish him well. You know, he's done a good job. He took over week three, I think, after Coach Roman was released. And obviously, they're the number one rush offense in the league. And I don't know if we have enough time and coffee and water and pillows to go through, you know, the NFL hiring process. But I think from my experience only, I don't want to speak for anybody else. I just want to speak for myself. I think all people in life, male, female, Hillary Rodham Clinton, They just want a fair, equal opportunity. They don't want a handout. They don't want a hand up. They just want an opportunity, an equal opportunity. That's all.
You feel you got a fair, equal opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
We've asked you about Emmanuel before, but mm-hmm. he had good numbers last week against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Do you see him still getting better week by week?
I hope so. I mean, I hope he sees that, and I hope everybody wants to, even Tremont. If you don't, what are you doing? I mean, why don't you just retire and say, that's as good as I'm going to get, and I'm done. He's got, you know, for a rookie, and this is any rookie, the learning curve is so big. And he's going to continue to get better. I haven't seen. I don't know when they come out with the all-rookie team. So if he's not on it, that should be something for him to work on. I don't know when the all-pro team comes on. If he's not on it, that should be something. You know, those kind of goals where you have to get better, and we have to get better as a team and as a coaching staff and, you know, as a front office, because we aspire to be good, to get into the playoffs, to consistently get in the playoffs. And to do that, all levels of your organization has to strive to get better. And so I'm sure he's not satisfied. I continue to tell him to play faster, and he's going to get better with experience, and he is getting better.
How's he been? When you guys are in your base, how's he been holding up against the run with a lot of those big bodies?
That's something when I talk about the learning curve of what it takes physically to play in this league, strength-wise, at that position. And I often use a saying in our room that our little guys, our skill guys, they don't mind being really in this big room and have to get shady on the ground. That's just what they do. Our big guys don't mind having 753 pounds pressing on them all the time on double teams. That's just what your job description is. You've got to learn how to get shady in the open field. You've got to learn how to play double teams. And he is, and he's getting better in technique and who he's going against and how to beat them and how they set and post the double. All those things that takes experience, and he's getting it. And we need, you know, just more guys around him to help him. But is he growing and maturing, getting better? Yes. Is he going to be better next year than he was this year? He better be, and I think he will be.
How about Carl? Is he... you know, doing things that aren't showing up on the stat sheet? I mean, is he affecting the quarterback the way that you need to? And if not, what can he do better, and what does he need to do better?
He's primarily right now been our sub package when they put multiple wide receivers out there. And his thing is, again, a young man growing and trying to figure out how to play in this league. And at that position, it's a lot of really speed, quickness, and strength. That's what it is. And obviously you learn what you see pre-snap. We need, I think for us defensively, I think if I threw a blanket over there, we need to improve. You know, we know that. We're not hiding from the fact we've got to get better. We've got to affect the quarterback more. Whatever we're doing now is not enough, because we'd be in first place challenging Pittsburgh for the division lead. So at all levels, and I'm talking myself, coaching, players, we got to get better at what we're doing. I know we talked about a long time ago how young we are. Nobody cares about that. Care about how good you're going to be. And I keep saying, you know, the foundation's there. We got to get more pieces to the foundation. But Carl's one of them. And the learning curve is over for them, meaning the excuses and all that. We just got to get better. And they will. I don't want to act like, well, it's a 10-game learning curve. It's a, you know, really it's a career learning curve of who you're playing, how you play, and getting better, and watching yourself saying, well, I make the same move all the time. They're going to see me making this move. Guess what? They got me figured out too. So we're counting on guys to continue to grow, and I challenge them today in our meeting about how can they get better. Help me help you get better.
Figure it out and go on to be a double-digit sacker in the NFL?
I think for Carl, yes, because he's so smart. He really is. When you watch him, he studies, he understands. His brother has played in the league, so he gets what the NFL is about. And then it's just having your body mature and grow up and get bigger and stronger to go with it, so you can compete for 16 weeks against. And I apologize, I don't know who Penn State plays all the time, but so I don't want to say, a team that may not be NFL caliber, but, you know, up here you play against guys all the time that, you know, are the best of the best. It's a little different than college where you may not, you may play a Division II team. I don't know who they play, but.
You're right.
Meaning not Ohio State and Michigan. I know where they're at, but.
Sorry about that. Body Calhoun, you know, he's gotten beat a couple times, but it also seems like every week he's kind of around the ball. There's a play that he makes that you think, okay, that was a really good play. What have you seen from him from kind of the start of the season till now?
Yeah, for a young kid that I really didn't know a lot about, the game is very important to him. I don't know how he talks to you guys, but he studies a lot. He wants to be good. And I think at this level, when you watch a lot of NFL football, and I've said this numerous times about the rules of the game, how they're structured for TV, I believe, is they want passing. They want scoring. And so to get that, you know, there's a premium on if you're a defensive back, the ball's going to come to you. And you've got to be able to make a play. And but you also have to understand, I think I saw last night just watching TV where they talked about it was Aaron Donald, the amount that he, I think, affected the quarterback or something. He was number either one or two with J.J. Watt. One was, I think, at 17%, and one was at 15%. I was just, you only affect the quarterback 15% of the time, and you're number two in the league? It's hard. I mean, the ball's gone, the rules. I've talked about the lacks of how they protect, you know, whether it's hands inside, hands in outside, don't pull them down, do pull them down. The rules have changed. And you can see statistically, interceptions are down, sacks are down, affecting the quarterback is down. You've got to change, I think, a little bit of your vision of, you know, you're not going to get 22 and a half sacks in a year. You're just not. So, you know, how we evaluate and grade and say, well, this guy's not producing, well, you got to look around the league and go, well, I think he's probably, meaning if we're good, he's probably on par with the rest of the league. You're not going to get 20. Michael Strahan's probably safe for a long time.